This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. Top wrestlers from Bethel and across the YK Delta hit the mats in Anchorage for the ASAA Wrestling State Championships over the weekend. In the end, a private school from Fairbanks called the Student Wrestling Development Program took first place overall among more than 100 teams at state. Bethel Warriors wrestlers ranked 32nd overall, helped by Bethel sophomore Cole Iverson's second-place finish in the 119-pound weight class. It was a repeat of 2024 when Iverson took second in the 103-pound weight class as a freshman. Other notable finishes for the Warrior boys included junior Aiden Crow's fourth-place finish in the 112-pound weight class and junior Brandon Iapan's fifth-place finish in the 125-pound weight class. Upriver from Bethel, Antioch junior Ralph Steves brought home a third-place finish in the 135-pound weight class. And closer to Bethel, Nebuskiak freshman Travis Andrew took fourth in the 103-pound weight class. For the Lady Warriors, junior Riley Boney took fourth in the 138-pound weight class, and in the 107-pound weight class, sophomore Claire Diamond also took fourth. Additional YK communities where wrestlers punched their ticket to state this year included Quinnahawk, Duntatuliak, Chivac, St. Mary's, and Akyachuk. Governor Mike Dunleavy is eyeing a property tax break for the long-planned Alaska LNG project. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, the proposal is drawing pushback from legislators and local officials.
Dunleavy's tax proposal would give the project a 90% discount on the state's normal property tax for oil and gas infrastructure. He describes his plans in an interview with the Anchorage Daily News. The Republican governor's spokesperson confirmed the proposal, but declined to make Dunleavy or another member of the administration available for an interview. The state shares oil and gas property tax revenue with local governments, and some local leaders are raising concerns about Dunleavy's proposal.
We can't subsidize that project. We at least have to cover our costs.
That's Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor Peter Michicki. He says he expects the project would be a boon for the state, and he says a natural gas export terminal would likely bring thousands of jobs to the Kenai Peninsula. But he says a low property tax rate for the project would essentially push some of the project's cost onto local taxpayers.
We're going to have impacts on our schools. We're going to have impacts on emergency services. For sure, we're likely going to be the agencies they turn to for their emergency response plans, like all of the other oil and gas facilities do.
Plans for a North Slope gas pipeline and an export terminal in South Central Alaska have been in the works for years, but they've taken on new life in the second Trump administration. The state has turned over the project to a private developer, Glen Farne, which has put out a steady stream of announcements about agreements with possible customers, investors, and suppliers. But the project has plenty of skeptics, too, who argue that the project last estimated at $44 billion would be too expensive to make financial sense. A consulting firm contracted by the state legislature to examine the project, Gaffney Klein, told lawmakers last month they may need to make a variety of changes to help the pipeline become a reality, including changes to property taxes. In a statement, a spokesperson for project developer Glen Farne said the company had not seen the specifics of Dunleavy's proposal and couldn't offer an opinion. Michicki says he's open to tax breaks that would support a pipeline, but he says local governments need to be involved in determining what exactly those might be. And at least so far, he says that hasn't happened.
There is a deal to be had here. But it has to be born from facts, real math, local impact data. It has to be transparently and fairly negotiated between all involved in good faith.
In an email, Dunleavy spokesperson Jeff Turner said the bill hadn't yet been drafted, so he said it's premature to say the proposal was developed without their input. And he said essentially that the proposed deal is better than nothing. The state and municipalities are currently making no money on an LNG pipeline because it doesn't exist. Fairbanks Representative Maxine Dybert, a Democrat who co-chairs the State House Resources Committee, says she plans to discuss Dunleavy's bill with local officials. But she says she plans to focus much of her attention this session on a separate bill that would require the project to include a smaller lateral pipeline to supply Fairbanks with gas to cut energy costs.
And for me, that is a line in the sand that it needs to be guaranteed part of the project.
Republican Senator Jesse Bjorkman, who represents the Central Kenai Peninsula, says he's on the fence about Dunleavy's proposal. He says he'd like to learn more about the project's finances to determine what's necessary. But in any case, he says it would make little sense to cut the project to break on property taxes after Glen Farne makes a final investment decision, or FID.
If they're going to have an FID decision in January next month, then that cake is already baked, like the financials are already in place.
Glenfarne declined to say when exactly it expects to make a final investment decision on the pipeline. That's essentially the formal green light for the project. The company says it's, quote, rapidly progressing towards a final investment decision and that the project remains on schedule to deliver its first gas to Alaskans in 2029. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
Celebrated Athabascan fiddler Bill Stevens died in Fairbanks late last month at the age of 92. As Shelby Herbert reports for the Alaska Desk, co-performers say his music will live on in his students and in programs that spread fiddling across rural Alaska.
That's Bill Stevens playing his fiddle at the Pioneer Home, an assisted living center in Fairbanks, back in 2023. His accompanist on the guitar and frequent fellow performer Lisa Yeager says what you're hearing was his last public performance. She remembers it well.
Bill would play it at a lickety-split pace. You know, we had to, you know, keep up with him. And one of the things I really liked about Bill, being a guitar player myself, was that when he'd start a tune, he wouldn't tell you what the name of the tune was going to be, but he'd tell you the key. A good clue for the guitar players, you know.
Stevens grew up in Fort Yukon, where fiddle music and dancing had been a staple at Kwichin potlatches. He writes in his autobiography, Ch'adza Agwa, or He Carries the Dance, that Scottish and French-Canadian fur traders brought fiddles and jigs to the Athabascan villages in the northern interior when they came to work for the Hudson Bay Company. That was over 150 years ago. But those lively refrains just stuck.
It is so much fun. It's done in groups and pairs and brings a lot of joy to my heart.
That's Kaylee Nelson, the parish administrator for St. Matthew's Episcopal Church in Fairbanks, where Stevens attended. Nelson says she'll miss the lilt of Stevens' fiddle bouncing off the church walls when he performed for special services like Christmas Eve. She says those songs helped keep her culture alive.
I don't know my language, and it hurts, but when I sing the music, it makes me feel connected to my people. It's hard to think about our history and our past. It makes you think about how resilient we are together when we come together and we sing together.
Former St. Matthew's rector Scott Fisher was friends with Stevens for decades. He says he was a true gentleman in the old sense of the word.
He was humble. I remember we did a Christmas pageant here, and we decided to use adults because it was too hard digging up kids. Bill was one of the three wise men, dressed as an old trapper.
Stevens' friends recall that his faith and St. Matthew's were a huge part of his life. The century-old wooden church is a meeting point of many different cultures. Traditional celebrations sometimes take place in the parish hall, especially jigs. Father Steve Reed is the church's current rector. He says the jigs are a way of honoring the culture, tradition, and history of its parishioners, and inspiring joy and hope in times of great darkness, cold, and loss. And for that, Bill Stevens was key.
Much of the world has acted shamefully when it comes to oppressing Indigenous people and suppressing languages and culture and tradition. And so here you have Bill teaching it, bringing it back, reviving it, people singing it, remembering it.
Stevens also trained several generations of musicians through programs like the Young Native Fiddlers. Reverend Bell Mickelson founded Dancing with the Spirit, a series of traveling music camps that Stevens helped teach. She says their goal was always bigger than just the music.
In a week, we really make those connections with the kids. And then by the end of the week, we usually have the elders and our other musicians talk to the kids about how important it is to stay away from drugs and alcohol, graduate, and become leaders in their community.
But friends and fellow musicians also remember that Stevens overcame years of personal struggles. Mike Mickelson is Bell's son and another one of Stevens' co-performers from over the years. He also traveled from village to village with Stevens to teach music through Dancing with the Spirit.
You know, the thing about Bill is that he went through some really challenging times, and he wasn't playing music, and there was a lot of a lot of things in his life that other people haven't come back from. And music pulled him out of that.
Bell and Mike Mickelson say they'll always remember him for encouraging Alaska Native youth to be their best, be proud of who they are, and for helping them connect to their identities with Athabascan fiddle music, sometimes even gifting them his own instruments. They say his music will live on through the generations of students he taught and continue to bring light and warmth to the world in the cold months. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Shelby Herbert.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. Email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganumjit coming up.